If you've come very often to this place, you know one of my favorite themes to preach on is the love of God. I love to take a verse like John 3:16 and just preach. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love to talk about the love of God. I love to quote songs like that song, "If we with ink the oceans filled and were the sky of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky." The Apostle John wrote that if the apostles were to write down everything that Jesus did, the world could not contain the books. And if we tried to write the love of God, where the oceans filled with ink and the skies made of parchment, they couldn't contain the love of God. So I love to preach about the love of God. But every once in a while, I need to remind you that God is also a God of wrath. There are some things that God hates. He tells us about them in his word. He is a God that metes out punishment. His wrath is fierce, the Bible talks about. Just as unsparing as he is in his mercy, he is unsparing in his wrath. And tonight I preach a sermon entitled, "The Unsparing God." And tonight I want to mention four things that God spared not. He spared not. Number one, he spared not the angels that sinned. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." And I don't have the rest of the verse in my notes, but the rest of the verse says, "How shall you escape?" I mean, if God cast the angels that revolted against him into hell, how can we as mankind think that we can escape his wrath? In Jude verse 6, the Bible says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." And so the angels were spared not by God. They are under the wrath of God. And I will tell you that the angels, unlike we as man, have no offer of forgiveness. They don't have the cross of Calvary. They don't have a second chance. I don't know much about the angels, but I do know this. I know that a third of them, led by Satan, revolted against God, sinned against God, rebelled against God, were expelled from heaven and cast into hell. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, the Bible says, Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me that ye cursed unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." And I've told you before, hell was not prepared for mankind. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and God just borrows it to send those that reject him there. We think about angels as being beautiful beings that do good. But tonight I want to tell you, there are some beautiful singing angels that are shrieking out in hell in the everlasting fire prepared by God for them. Some people think that because of their goodness, and again, when we think of angels, we usually think of goodness. We think of beings that were created by God to do his bidding that do good. But some people think, well, because of the goodness I do, God will spare me. Because I am active in the community, because I have joined different charitable organizations, or I've joined the church, or I help the Red Cross, or I take part with the Salvation Army, that goodness is my ticket to heaven. And I tell you tonight, as I've told you often, if that's what you're depending on you depending on to get you to heaven. You are depending on the wrong thing. Your goodness is not sufficient. It does not cover your sin debt. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no salvation in good works. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, not of your, it's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. And if you are depending on your goodness, and by the way, there are some good people here tonight. People that do good things. People that remind me of angels in the goodness that they do. But I will tell you, your goodness will not get you into heaven. When you get to see Jesus, he'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you. If he spared not the angels, who the Bible says we were created a little lower than, if God could not spare them, if he could not overlook their sin, how can he spare us? How can he overlook our sin? He cannot and still be God. He spared not the angels that sinned. Number two, he spared not the old world. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Go back to the book of Genesis, read from chapter 6. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. He called Noah. He said, Noah, I've seen that every imagination of man's heart is only wickedness. Noah lived in a day much like we live in today, where people just think it up and they do it. They have no restraint. Whatever they can think up, it's evil, and they just do it. That's the kind of day that Noah lived in. And God saw it, and he says, I'm sorry that I made man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, the Bible says. God came to Noah, said, build an ark. Noah obeyed. He started building the ark. And as he was building that ark, and by the way, it took him over 100 years to build that boat. And during that 100 years, Noah warned about the coming wrath of God. He warned about the coming judgment of God. I think every day he stood on the framework of the ark and he preached to people. And he said, the judgment of God is coming. God's about to do something that we've never seen before. You need to get ready. You need to get on this ark. It's the only way that you can be saved from the judgment of God. And he preached for 100 years and nobody listened to him except for his wife, his three boys, his three daughter-in-laws. And the Bible says that everything that had breath died, except for those that were on the ark. Some people today have a messed up picture of God. They think, much like the people did in the days of Noah, that God is a loving God, God's a good God. There is no way that God will bring his judgment upon us. There's no way that God in his love can judge mankind. They don't pay attention to what they read in this book. Because as much as this book talks about the love of God, it talks about the judgment of God. And again, too many of us take this book like a smorgasbord. We pick and choose. We pick the parts we like and we ignore the parts we don't like. We pick the parts that fit in with our picture of God and we ignore the parts that don't fit in with the picture that we have in our mind of God. God is a God of love, but he's also a God of wrath. And as Noah warned his generation, so the generation that we live in have been warned over and over and over. There are more preachers today, and I know that all of them don't preach about the judgment of God, but thank God there's still some good ones that do, and they ring it out from their pulpits. Some of them that preach on TV ring it out from their pulpits on TV and radio. We've been warned that the wages of sin is death. We've been warned, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. We've been warned, be sure your sin will find you out. We've been warned, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. We've been warned, just like the people in Noah's day was warned. Jesus talked about the flood in Matthew chapter 24. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I want to remind you tonight, you cannot think that you are so good that God won't send you to hell. If you lived in Noah's day, the only way you survived the flood was to get on the ark. And if you're going to find life today and escape the judgment of God, you've got to get on the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's salvation in no other but Him. Now, I know there are people that say, well, preacher, what you may be talking about may be true for the rest of the world, but not America. We have been a nation blessed by God. We have been a nation that for the most part have turned ourselves to God. Yeah, I know there's some in our day that have tried to take God out of everything, and they are the minority, and we as the majority have let them do that. But God, we are a nation that was built on God. We are a nation that worships God, and God may take His wrath and His judgment out on other nations, but He would never do that to America. Let me move to my third point, where God spared not the natural branches. In Romans chapter 11, but the Bible says, be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest He also spare not thee. You go back and you study the chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11 of Romans, you'll see that the Bible is talking about the natural branches. When it talks about the natural branches, it's talking about Israel. It's talking about the nation of Israel. It's talking about the nation that was formed that we talked about in our Sunday school lesson this morning, when God chose Abram. God chose Abram. He says, you're going to be my people. Your descendants are going to be my people. I mean, the nation of Israel was a nation chosen by God to be His people. He chose them for a purpose. In Romans chapter 9, it says, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. In other words, God chose Israel, and through Israel, He gave the covenants, He gave the law, and through Israel, He gave the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if there was a nation that God would never curse, a nation that God would never judge, you would think it would be Israel. He called them in the Bible, the apple of my eye. He told them, my banner over you is love. One day, our Lord was born in Bethlehem to a Hebrew virgin. He was brought up in a Hebrew home. He grew to manhood attending Jewish synagogues. At 30 years old, he was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River and came up out of the water. A dove descended from heaven, landed on him, and a voice came from heaven, said, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He began to teach. He began to preach. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He stilled the storms. He cast out demons, cast out devils. And with many other signs, He showed Himself to be the Messiah. And He offered Himself to the nation of Israel. And they rejected Him. They said, we will not have this man to rule over us. But they're saying, we don't want this man to be our king. In John chapter 1, verse 11, the Bible says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And in Romans chapter 11, it says, because Israel rejected Christ, God rejected them. God spared not the natural branches. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell. Severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shall be cut off. Jesus said, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans, look, Israel rejected Christ. God cut them off. He spared not the natural branches. In the book of Matthew, it says, wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barcharias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. The nation of Israel, the natural branches in the tree of God, turned against Christ, rejected him, and the Bible says that God spared not the natural branches. Do you think he's going to spare America? Do you think he loves our country more than he loves Israel, his chosen people? No. He won't spare us. Jesus said in that same chapter of Matthew, and I think he must have, I can just picture him as he says this. I think if there were not tears flowing down his cheeks, there were tears in the corner of his eyes when he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Desolate. So he spared not the angels. He spared not the old world. He cast the angels into hell. He spared not the old world. He destroyed it with a flood. He spared not the natural branches. He spared not the nation of Israel when they rejected Christ. How can you that are here tonight that don't know Jesus Christ think that he will spare you? Can he send the angels to hell and not send you who rejected the Savior? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 36, that the wrath of God abides in the unbeliever. In John 3:18, it says, the unbeliever is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the Son of God. Now we come to point four, our text, Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son. He spared not the angels. He spared not the old world. He spared not the natural branches. And then he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. The angels sinned. He spared them not. The old world sinned. He spared it not. The natural branches sinned. He spared them not. This verse says, he spared not his own son. You say, preacher, how can that be? Jesus was perfect. He was not like the angels who sinned. He was not like the old world who sinned. He was not like the natural branches, the nation of Israel who sinned. He was tempted, the Bible says, in all points like as we, yet without sin. He had no sin. He was the pure, perfect, spotless Lamb of God. Never in word, never in thought, never in deed did he disobey or dishonor his God. And yet we read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In Isaiah 53, 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. He spared not his own son. Now again, all the things that he spared not that we've mentioned already, he spared them not because of sin. And yet his own son was sinless. And the Bible says he spared him not. What's the deal? Why did he spare not his own son? Well, you know the answer as well as I do. He spared not his own son because on the cross, God took every one of my sins and he took every one of your sins and he put them on his son. And when God saw his son bearing our sins, he said, I can't spare him either. I can't send the angels to hell and spare my son with the sins of the world. I can't not spare the old world. I can't destroy the world and spare my son as he bears the sins of the world. I cannot do what I did to the nation of Israel and spare my son as he bears his sin. I have to do to my son what I did to the angels and to the old world and to the natural branches. The price of sin has to be paid. And he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He spared not his own son for me. He spared not his own son for you. By the way, he spared not his own son for every single person, even those that have rejected him. You ever stop and think about that? When Jesus died on the cross, he died for every single person. Every person that's in hell tonight, the price of their sin was paid for by Jesus Christ. Every person. Every person that's in this world that has rejected Christ over and over and over and over and said, I want no part of that Savior. That religion is not for me. I don't want any part of it. Jesus paid the price of their sin. Those people that live in the world who maybe they don't out and out reject Christ, but they just don't have time for him. They don't think about eternity. They don't think about what's going to happen when they die. They just don't think about those things. Jesus paid the price for every one of their sins. Every single person here tonight, every single person, Jesus paid the price for our sins. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Now, I know most of us are saved tonight. So, Jameson, thank you for singing that song tonight, because I love to tell the story for those who know it best, because they seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory we sing the new song, 'twill be the old story. That story that we talked about tonight, story of a cross, story of the perfect, sinless Son of God bearing all our sin, paying the price for our sin. That's a story we're going to sing about in heaven. That's a story we're going to talk about in heaven. Nobody in heaven will need to hear it, but we'll all need to hear it. We won't want to sing about anything else. We won't want to talk about anything else. All we'll want to sing about and talk about, that'll be our theme. The old story that we have loved so long. If you're here tonight and you've never received the Christ that's the center of this old story, I beg you, don't leave this place tonight without doing that. Don't leave this place without knowing for sure you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Those of us that are Christians and know that, let's leave this place rejoicing. Let's leave this place saying, like some did when they shared their testimony, what a good God that we have. What a wonderful God that we have. I don't understand why he loved me, but I'm so glad that he did. That he did. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for that old story. Thank you for not only for being a God of love, but for being a God of wrath, because without the wrath of God, we'd never know the depth of your love. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I pray tonight, if there's only one person, just one person here tonight that's never received Christ as our Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to their heart right now. You would show them their sin. You would show them the hopelessness that is that they have because of their sin. You would show them the only hope that they have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Help them to make that decision right now to receive him. In simple childlike faith, to say, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, Jesus, please save me. Please save me. And Father, if they do that in just a second, help them to walk the aisle and tell us so that we can rejoice with them that another soul has entered the family of God. Speak to our hearts as Christians. If there's something in our life that shouldn't be there, help us to get rid of it, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient, faithful children. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.